So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 5, Texts 12 and 13. 13's on the board. Offering blessings to the newborn child, Krishna, the wives and daughters of the cowherd men said, "May you become the king of Braj and long maintain all its inhabitants." They sprinkled a mixture of turmeric powder, oil, and water upon the birthless Supreme Lord and offered their prayers. Text 13, translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Now that the all-pervading, unlimited Lord Krishna, the master of the cosmic manifestation, had arrived within the estate of Maharaj Nanda, various types of musical instruments resounded to celebrate this great festival. Purport. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 4:7, Yada yada hidharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutana madharmasya tadatmanam srijam yaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharat, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. Whenever Krishna comes once in a day of Brahma, he comes to the house of Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan. Krishna is the master of all creation, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Therefore, not only in the neighborhood of Nanda Maharaj's estate, but all over the universe and in all the other universes, musical sounds celebrated the auspicious arrival of the Lord. Amagyana timirandasya jananjana salakaya chakshurin militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Okay, so we're in the nectar part of the Bhagavatam. All of it's nectar, but this is especially sweet. And we're seeing that how they celebrate in the land of Vrindavan, how they celebrate the arrival of a newborn child to the king and queen of Braj. Right? And here they're playing instruments. They're blessing the baby. May you become the king of Braj and long maintain all its inhabitants. So in this day and age, we see that no one wants a dynasty, right? They're, well, I don't know about here, but in America, it's like nobody wants a dynasty. Oh, they've had too many people in office. We don't want any more of them, right? So, but here, they're wanting, please, after Nanda Maharaj, your son should become the king. And why is that? It's because all of the personalities in the village felt so protected and happy. And really, that could occur anywhere in the world. We see throughout the Bhagavatam great kings who protected their citizens so nicely. In fact, the citizens are called Praja. Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Shishi Gornitai. Their citizens are called Praja. They're treated just like the sons and daughters of the king. And so the citizens are happy. So here the king of the cowherd men, Nanda Maharaj, has had a son. And they're all saying, please let him be as great as his father and rule all of us. And here it doesn't say just us citizens. It says all of its inhabitants. So that's including everyone, all the cows, all the cowherd men and cowherd women. All the animals that come there in Braj, even the dogs. You know when Govardhan Hill, when they were circumambulating Govardhan Hill, before that, Krishna had said, you should make prasadam for everyone in Vrindavan, even the dogs and the chandalas, right? So they were protecting everyone, not just citizens, or not just special citizens. So there's such a difference between this age and that age. Although, just in a few verses back, Srila Prabhupada was mentioning that, you know, this age could also be, if cows were protected and the citizens were protected and everyone was engaged in spiritual practice, this also could become like Vaikuntha. So we see in the temples, they're like oases in these great oceans of Kali Yuga right now. And you go there and you feel some transcendence. There's some transcendental bliss there. Everyone chanting. The deities are the center. And everyone's doing service for them. whether they're milking the cows, whether they're cooking offerings, whether they're cleaning the floors, whether they're going on sankirtan, whatever's being done is with the mood of that this is for Krishna. And I remember when I lived here before, a long time ago, but everything we did was for Krishna's pleasure. We'd go out on sankirtan, we'd whatever. We'd always be busy serving Krishna, busy, busy. So this is where the actual bliss comes from. And so these are like small kingdoms of Krishna, and Krishna's in control. And then the next translation is about how Krishna always comes to the estate of Nanda Maharaj. So we know that it was Prabhupada coined it as the transcendental traveling party. And so Krishna, he goes to different universes, and he performs his pastimes there. His pastimes of herding cows. And he always, in the purport, Prabhupada says, he always goes to Nanda Maharaj's home. And why would that be? Why doesn't he go to, first he's born in Mathura, which is a great opulent city. But Krishna prefers the pasturing grounds in Vrindavan. One time Srila Prabhupada was talking about Krishna and Balaram. He said, do not think those are just ornaments, the plow in the hand of Balaram and the stick in the hand of Krishna and rope. These are actually used. The stick and the rope are for herding cows, and the plow is for plowing the land. So even Krishna takes part in this. This is his great pleasure. I was a few purports back, I was impressed by Prabhupada said, he was talking about the agriculturalist. It's a short purport, so I'll just read it. When we consider the past condition of the agriculturalist in the village, we can see how opulent he was, simply because of agricultural produce and protection of cows. At the present, however, agriculture having been neglected and cow protection given up, the agriculturalist is suffering pitiably and is dressed in niggardly torn cloth, niggard leaves, just poor, very torn and awful. This is the distinction between the India of history and the India of present day. By the atrocious activities of Ugra Karma, how we are killing the opportunity of human civilization. And he puts an exclamation mark behind that. So this present day, how we are running our civilization is killing the population and just the humanity, humane civilization. It's become, what do they coin it? The rat race. You know, a lot of rats running around. And why is that? We've put the dollar or the pound or this whatever as the main thing to run after. I heard my son put on I don't know if you have those here, TED Talks. Do you have those here? And he put one on, and it was, he said, you'll like this. And it was a man from India, a young guy. He was probably in his 20s, mid-20s. And he had been given a scholarship to go to Cambridge. And so everyone was excited in the village. Oh, he's going to Cambridge, and he's going to get a big job and make lots of money. And he was excited. So he went there, and he said, I worked, and I worked, and I had to study so hard. And I could barely have time to eat or sleep. I was just studying to get good grades to pass my exams. He said, and suddenly one day I thought, what am I doing? There are no festivals here. He was there for about a year and a half, 2 years. He said, there's no time to talk to anyone or make friends. You barely have a meal to eat. It's just grabbing whatever you can to eat. He said, and then what do I do after this? I go and get a job. And then I'm just running. No time. Just to make money. And then I die. And he just said, forget this. I'm giving this up and I'm going back to the village. And he went back and he said, we shouldn't be working for money. Forget the money. We should keep it how it is. And I was thinking, There's a book, I can't remember who wrote it, about Bengali village life. Anybody? Anyway, it was talking about, it was one of the sannyasis wrote it. And he was talking about how when he first went and started living with villagers there in Bangladesh, he said he didn't see anybody passing money. There'd be someone come and shave everyone in the household and leave. And someone else would come and deliver milk to them or come and bring some vegetables. And he never saw any money going. And he was thinking, how do they trade? You know, how is this happening? So then one day, all the crops were coming in, all the grains, because this family grew grains. And all the grains were coming in. And then the grains were given out. There was portions put aside for all the people who had done different services for them throughout the year. So in that way, they traded. They weren't after, I have to have this dollar, I have to. They got everything they needed by trade. So I know for us, we have cows in Alachua, and we milk our cows, and different devotees buy milk from us. But the nicest thing is we have one couple that grow vegetables and things, and they trade with us. So every week, they'll take a gallon of milk, and they'll leave vegetables from their garden. And I realized it's such a nice thing, because you appreciate their service to the Lord by growing these vegetables. And it's so appreciated. And you have nice vegetables to offer Krishna. And they so much appreciating getting raw milk from our cows, knowing that our cows will never be killed and will always be protected. So it makes for such gratitude in the heart. So this simple way of life, like when you go to the grocery store and buy something, there's no gratitude particularly for what's coming out. It's just made in a factory, or it's, you know, put on the shelf, and whoever's selling it's making it money. And there's nothing there that pulls the heartstrings for gratitude. But this exchange that we can have in a village life, in a setting of simple village life, is so wonderful that it pulls the heartstrings for gratitude, and it gives one peacefulness. Because if you notice that in the cities, when you go out to the cities, I know if you're doing Sagatan, but still you feel the pull of passion come along. You know, it's like, oh, what's going on? And the senses are so distracted. You know, maybe I should get this, maybe I should. You walk in a grocery store for one thing and you come out with 20, right? Oh, maybe I need that, I need that. You know, so it's made to be like that. The whole idea is to be like that. And that is what's called consumer civilization. And that is soul-killing civilization. It's the killer of the soul. No one has time to think about the soul or about Krishna. It's like that drama we used to do, a little skit about the bird in the cage. I don't know if they've done that here since. But, you know, they're so busy. This woman is so busy with the cage, polishing this cage. Polishing, polishing. Oh, this is such a great cage. I can't wait for my friends to see this. She's forgetting the bird inside. And the bird dies. And when her friends come, all they can see is a dead bird in this cage. They cannot appreciate the cage. So similarly, this way of life that we're living, this mad rush for material things, letting the senses loose and letting them go, that is soul killing. Just like that bird dies, so our souls die. That's why these little oases all over the world are so important. That we can come and associate with other Vaishnavs that are trying to become steady in their Krishna consciousness and advance back to Godhead. And we can have different nice ceremonies. Babies, when they're a certain age, then they get their hair cutting ceremony. And these are very jubilant ceremonies, just like this ceremony for Krishna. It's so nice. Their Govardhan Hill worship is so nice with the cows. And, you know, we live with the cows. It's so, I don't remember the Prabhu's name that gave class the other day, but he was talking about if you want peace of mind, go down to the cow. But I tell you, if you serve the cows, that's even more amazing. You get so much from that. It's just seeing, Prabhupada said for pregnant women, they should associate with cows. And why is that? You see the cows with their calves? They're so sweet, the way they protect them. If they get out of the fence, they're crying until you go and help them back in. They're always there for their babies, whatever. Even if it's painful for them, they're there to help. So in that way, a mother can learn to be a mother. Nowadays, there's no... children are killed in the womb. They don't even care. So many children are neglected, you know, or worse. So this is not real civilization. This is the soul-killing civilization. But we have this opportunity. In this age, we might ask ourselves, well, here Krishna says, in the translation, and the purport, Prabhupada says, yada, yada, hidharmasya. We might think, it's so bad now. You know, so many animals slaughtered, so many babies slaughtered in the womb. How much worse can it get? So many wars. Practically every continent has a war going on of some sort. You know, so many mass killings now. Guns, knives, bombs, whatever. So many bad things happening. And you think, why isn't Krishna coming now? But Krishna has come now. And he's come in the form of his holy names. Right? And that holy name is nectar. If we take the opportunity to hear. There's a really nice verse that Rupa Goswami said. It's in the Madhya Lila. But he says, I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. We then desire many, many mouths. When the name enters the holes of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. And when that holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, and therefore all the senses become inert. Okay, and that's what we want, the senses to become inert. Right? The senses are always harassing us. You must do this, you must do that. If you, I don't know, you all are probably much more pure than myself, but if I tried to stop the senses during chanting, they're always bugging. Go here, go there, maybe we should do this today. You know, they're always agitating the mind. And it's very difficult just to hear the holy names when we chant. But here, Rupa Goswami, who knows, he tastes that nectar, the holy name. He's saying it's there in those two syllables. We just have to take advantage of hearing. Okay, it's from one time a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, you know, Srila Prabhupada, when I start chanting, my mind gets so disturbed. Prabhupada said, what is the question of the mind? It's the tongue to the ear. No mind involved, right? So we have to remember this. When chanting, sit somewhere peaceful, or with other devotees only chanting, and then chant and hear, chant the holy names, let the Lord dance on your tongue, let him dance in your ear, and then in the courtyard of your heart, and you will become peaceful, that peacefulness. And I was thinking how opulent these devotees are in Vrindavan, you know, and you might say, well, how did they become opulent? Like in this day and age, because agriculture has become so industrialized, these big companies in these big, I don't know if you've seen these huge tractors, the farmer doesn't even touch the soil. He's in these huge, you know, air conditioned with his headphones on, listening to all kinds of whatever, driving along in this big thing. It looks like some sort of monster. And he doesn't have any idea of what his soil's like, what's going on. And he's just doing this for a big manufacturer who also has probably never even seen the property that he's farming, just so that we can get our bird's eye, you know, frozen peas or, you know, whatever it is we're eating. They have no idea. And it's become so impersonal. The cows, they're just herded in, you know, the milking machine's stuck on. They even have these things I saw not too long ago that the cows go in and the thing moves around while they're standing there. And it's milking them, and then they drop them off at the other end. They have no idea. Like, I know for us, when you're milking the cows, you see, oh, they're not feeling well today, or maybe they have cuts on their udders, or, you know, so you can help them in some ways, or maybe there's a little bit of disease that they've gotten you need to treat. You know, but in these assembly lines, they have no idea what the cows, what, no more than this farmer with his soil. It's become so impersonal. And this is what we're feeding ourselves. And, you know, and it's such an important thing. I know when Srila Prabhupada was here, he was talking about cow protection, how we needed to go and take the bullocks to the Covent Garden. Covent Garden, is that where the... Yeah. So he said, you take your vegetables and you put it on your bullock cart, and then all night you travel to London, and then you unload and you sell your vegetables, and then you pack up and again you come back. And the devotees were going, oh, Prabhupada, we couldn't do that. He said, no, after the oxen do it a few times, they'll know exactly. You can sleep on the cart while they're going. So his idea was we live simply, you know. And one time on a morning walk here, I remember, I didn't get to go on many, but I got to go on one, and we were going up the lane there in Letchmore Heath. And someone asked Srila Prabhupada, how did they have so many gems and gold and things when actually they weren't digging? There was no, you know, big drilling and stuff. Now we have these huge companies that drill these huge holes in the ground to get, you know, any opulent thing like gold or diamonds or what. So how did they have all this opulence there? They're just cowherd people. Prabhupada said, no, when Krishna was on the planet, when he was walking on earth, Mother Earth wanted to give. So she was putting everything in the streams and on the land, and they could just go pick up bits of gold or pick up diamonds or rubies. And then they would fashion them. Someone was a goldsmith, and they would fashion them into jewelry, and they would wear. Said, now so many sinful things are going on that she is keeping deeper inside of her. She doesn't want to give. So many sinful things going on. So really this movement can save this wretched society, how it's going. And there are so many people out there that are just waiting to hear something different. You know, I know in the United States, of course, it's election time, and I'm sure you all hear about it all the time. But, you know, there's two candidates vying, and then there was another one that came along that had totally different ideas of how to do things. And he was shot down pretty quickly, you know. But you saw how many young people wanted to hear that. They wanted to be part of that. They wanted to move in a different direction. So just like I know in the 70s, there was the Vietnam War in America, and Srila Prabhupada came there at that time, and young people were ripe to try something different. We wanted to hear something different and try something different. We did not want to be in this rat race that we saw our families going into. And right now it's the same. You know, we can see so much cheating, so much harassment. Even young people can't even rent a house nowadays. My grandson was trying to rent a place. They're asking for, you have to show that you can, you have someone that'll guarantee that they earn $50,000 at least. Two guarantors that are earning $50,000 a year, or pounds a year, and then we'll consider renting you a place. You're going, how can a young person even rent a house? It's become so ridiculous. It used to be people would put up a hut. We lived in Mayapur for a few years. And, you know, a big storm would come, flooding, their houses would go down the Ganges. Within a week, the hut was back up again. They would just, you know, palm leaves and bamboo, and there was their living space again. You know, now, you know, a big flood comes, and millions of dollars, my big house on the Atlantic coast or something, and, you know, it's been washed away, and, you know, they're losing millions of dollars and it takes them forever to get a new one because no one can afford it. It's such a tough world that we're living in. It's so wrong. And that's why Prabhupada put that exclamation mark. You know, because of this ugra karma, we are killing the opportunity for human civilization. So we have something very great that we can give society. And we know how to live. You know, we know what we should do. We have the answer to some of the plagues, all of the plagues in this society right now. But we must share that. And we have to take part in it ourselves. We have to practice it ourselves. I'm a bit of a hypocrite because I don't practice, I'm sure, as well as all of you. But it's such an important thing. And then we'll see, we'll become happy and so will others. You know, we have our land here and we have our cows here and we have agriculture going on. I think there's woofers that are helping. And, you know, we should go and try to do some of that. It really brings peace to the mind and to the soul, and it'll help your japa like anything. You know, touching a cow, just touching her and milking, it's such an amazing thing. I know we had woofers coming and helping, and they all wanted to try milking the cow. And they were saying, this is such an amazing experience. It's, unless you do it, you'll never understand what it's like. It's incredible. We had one little girl came down and her mother was saying, can she see the cows being milked? And he said, yeah, sure. She was saying, see, that's where the milk comes from. She's going, no, it comes from the grocery store. And she wouldn't accept that's where your milk comes from. We're so far removed from the reality of where our food comes from. Where does your bread come from? Comes from Tesco's. No, it comes from wheat that grows on a stalk that you have to get. And, you know, we're really removed. Even as devotees, we're very removed from reality. And the closer we can get, the happier we'll become. It'll go hand in hand. Might be a bit controversial, but it's true. No, and not only that, but Krishna will be satisfied. If we pick a tomato from our garden and offer it to the Lord, he's a million times more satisfied than we buy one from the grocery store and offer it to the Lord. And it tastes so much better. You know, the flavor, the aroma, we have people come to our house to take prasadam and they'll go, wow, what is this? It's so, and I'll say, oh, it's this. They'll go, but it tastes different. And that's because it's coming out of a garden and it's coming from a cow. The curd is so amazing. You make curd from raw milk and it's just incredible. It sticks together in this, it's just amazing. Or yogurt from cow's milk. You get the cream on top and it's just, it tastes so wonderful. And nourishing to the body. You know, and that's the mode of goodness. This lifestyle is the mode of goodness. And it brings you to the transcendental platform. But if we stay in the mode of passion and ignorance, we'll never really taste that nectar that Rupa Goswami is talking about, you know, in the taste of Krishna. We won't even get there. We'll always be running after the pound or the sterling or the, you know, to the grocery store for gas, for car, da, 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 da. It's the spider's web of material life. You take one step and you're stuck and then more and more. We have these, while you're milking the cows, underneath we have these spiders. They hang out because the cows are covered in flies, right? And they come in and the flies are flying off. She's swishing her tail. And the spiders are catching them. And you watch them. They get 1 foot on there and they're done. And they're trying to get out. And then they put the other one there and then they're really stuck. And the more they wiggle around, the more stuck they become. And that's kind of like us in the material world. We struggle so hard and we just get ourselves more and more. All right, let me go to school, like that man was saying. Let me go to school. Oh, I'll get a good education. And on and on. And then we get entangled in this ugra karma business. When Prabhupada was talking about Vedic villages and how he wanted us to reintroduce the Varnashram system, and he gave a series of lectures in Vrindavan, morning walks, about this. And he was saying how... I lost my train of thought. Oh, he was talking about how everyone, we need to get Kshatriyas and Brahmanas and Vaishyas. And so then one devotee said, well, the Vaishyas, so they should be, you know, making money and banking. And Prabhupada said, no, not this Ugra Karma business. Not this business. That is not what we're meaning. So you see, this trading business, that brings gratitude. This Ugra Karma business means you're stepping on someone else to get higher. You know, okay, if I can cheat them out of this, if I put the price up here and I'll cheat them out of this much and I'm making more money in my bank, that's Ugra Karma. Or let me, what was that one industrialist that Prabhupada saw? And he said, oh, I do, he says, what is your business? He said, oh, I am making glass. He said, you are a thief. And the man said, why? He said, what is this Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda? Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Shishi Gornitai. Jai. He says, what are you making this glass with? He said, well, we take sand and then we melt it down into silicon. And then he said, whose sand is this? Who makes this sand? Simple logic. What we are taking, does it belong to us in the first place? You know, and this is intelligent thinking. I remember sometimes Prabhupada would say things like that, and I would say, but that's the way it's done. You know, but Prabhupada didn't think in the box of how we're trained, you know, that everything is to make a dollar or a pound off of. He was not thinking in that way. He was thinking everything is for Krishna's use. And he said, if you have extra, then you trade. You know, not that you try to become rich off everything. That isn't the way of devotional service or of the mode of goodness. So this is like village life in Vrindavan. They weren't big, you know, industrialists. They were simple village people. And Krishna wants to come there every time. Every time. It says here, everywhere, always, Nanda Maharaj is the father of Krishna. He goes there to be with the cowherd men. That's where he is born. And Balaram. And it's such a wonderful, what is that we sing during the Damodarashtakam? How wonderful it's to see Krishna in those babyhood pastimes. They're so beautiful to see Krishna as that little boy stealing butter from the gopis, you know, running away. Mother Yashoda sees his footprints, the buttery footprints, and follows them to find him. You know, or everyone enjoys seeing him grab hold of the tails of the calves, and the calves take off running, and he's being dragged through all the dust. You know, so many wonderful pastimes there in Vrindavan. You know, how the cowherd boys go and play, you know, on each other's backs, they're riding. It's just such a wonderful place to be. You know, they take the cows out and then they just play while the cows are grazing. So this is real life, not what we see outside of these gates. That's not real life. That is illusion. So we deal with that in as much as we have to. You know, I know everyone here is not going to have cows and milk their own cows in their backyard in Bournemouth or somewhere. You know, but we have to think like that and change the paradigm that we of our thinking, you know, that this is not reality. And the more we engage in this, the more we're part of this Ugra Karma, human civilization killing. Okay, so I'll stop there. And if anyone has any questions or corrections or anything to add.